may not be suitable for some. Listener discretion advised.
All right now, boys and girls, we want to introduce...
Please allow me to adjust my pants. Woo, woo,
woo. Adults, please.
Turn it up.
Run as fast as you can.
I'm gonna give you what you need.
Get ready for BAM Radio.
Let me do it one more time. It's Radio BAM. Fucking idiot. What the hell am I talking about?
It's Radio BAM.
And now. Here's BAM.
Here's BAM.
Boy, that's funny. Look at us. Another week here. Radio BAM. Yes, Sirius 28 Faction. You already fucking know. Don't make me tell you again. Joining us on this lovely evening tonight is Brandon Nivek. Joe, the fat-faced France. Of course, Bam, and I am Deco. And if you're wondering what today is, then it's Fat Boy fucking Valentine's Day. You know what Bam Valentine's Day
is? Valentine's Day. Joe, what are you going to do for Valentine's Day? You going to take your smoker from Jersey out for a little date at Hardee's?
Yeah. I think that this Valentine's Day, I'm kicking my girlfriend out of the house.
You serious?
It sucks. It's over, dude.
No.
I can't deal with it. She causes way too many problems.
Holy shit, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, 2 nights ago, I took her out for a nice $120 dinner, a nice snowy walk in the snow, holding hands and stuff. And we get back.
What's the price tag on that one?
The walk in the snow is free, but we get back. And
she have smokes for the walk?
The price tag on the argument that follows was on my heart, you see. She decides to pick a fight with me over. I don't even remember what it was. It was definitely the most
bloodless
fight possible.
I gotta know.
You know what it was. You're lying.
All right. Well, I'll think of it in a second. Anyway, she goes to bed crying, right? And it's like, dude, perfect night ruined. I woke up out of love.
Doesn't it suck when like a stupid ass argument happens right after you just took her out to eat with your hard earned money and you took
ruined
her out to
just
like,
blow fucking
a nice candlelit
the
dinner? And then all of a sudden, like, you step on her nice shoe, and then she's like, you fucking asshole!
All over
you,
the way.
Give me another cigarette, you fucking curious!
Yeah, give me a cigarette.
We have
got to do it, Joe! To kick her out, on Valentine's Day, just leave a trail of rose petals out your front door, wrap it around the alleyway, and then just have a garbage can with her stuff sitting in it so she can follow it around.
Yeah, she follows the rose petals to a garbage heap.
But the thing is, you're so fucking hard-headed, man. How many times is it going to take you to have a miserable night with this broad, man?
Dude, no. It's literally the straw that broke the camel's back. You just don't understand.
You'll be
we
here
have been
tomorrow.
Through... No!
You'll fuck her as soon as you get back from
no,
wherever we're
and you
going.
Know what? And you know why? To ensure my sexual libido is gone, I have jerked
sexual
off...
Sexual libido?
I jerk off 8 times a day.
Well, you wouldn't have to if you'd come in my room, girl. God damn, I'll put this cigarette down for you and I'll suck you dry, you son of a bitch. But
no.
If you concede it, you gotta have your goddamn Media 1000. And that's all you ever play well with. You've been editing the same goddamn video for 15 fucking months.
Yeah.
15 years, fuck you, Joe. You've been working on the band. Leave me a fucking line here.
Yo, this girlfriend smokes so much she just has permanent cotton mouth.
Okay.
She's gotta be the worst kiss in the
band. Does she have a tracheotomy, Joe?
Does she breathe through her neck?
My girlfriend is the bad luck 13 girl. Okay, so if you can imagine the horribleness that
wait, I don't think most of these
her.
People know about Bad Luck 13, but why don't you give a brief description about what they're all about?
Bad Luck 13 is the probably craziest hardcore band ever to exist. It's Wendy O. Williams and Gigi Allen rolled up into one. But anyway, so
don't they beat each other up with barbed wire bats and shit?
They beat themselves up with barbed wire baseball bats, and now actually they don't actually commit any of the riots anymore. The crowd does it. This past Hellfest, they had the biggest metal riot in the history of metal. It was insane. There's a DVD out on it right now. It's called the Bad Luck Collection. But anyway, I cannot get this girl out of my house. I kicked her. I was like, babe. You got a week to leave. You owe me a couple $100. You can keep the money. I'm going to rent the van. I'm going to move you back into your sister's. And blah, blah, blah. I come back in 3 days. Nothing's packed. Nothing's moved.
And then it's just like, dude, all happens. Girls think that everything's going to be okay in 3 days. So she's like, you know what? I'm just going to wait it out. I'm going to go, you know, do this, do that. I'm going to come back, and then everything will be fine again. But no, this time it is going to be fine. Do your fucking shit. Get the fuck out. I'm sick of this shit. I'm the one who pays the rent. I'm the one who bought the house. You're out of here.
And for those 3 days...
you think I provide the fucking pleasure?
No!
Without my hole, you would feel nothing.
Bitch, I have you beat. I have the best masturbatory material money could buy. You don't understand this. You are nothing compared to the porn that I went out and got. And let me tell you, I jerk off about 7 times a day. I will not give in to temptation.
The thing is during that 3-day period when you want them out, they're on their best fucking behavior.
Oh, dude.
They will have hot breakfast, lunch, and dinner on the table. Everything clean. They know how to fucking ship up before they get shipped out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, she's definitely going this time, dude. We're definitely breaking up this time. Mark my words.
I don't believe it, man.
Really?
Yep. It's all over.
You now, hear it, listeners.
But I think that DiCamillo has an interesting theory on why St. Valentine's Day is the worthless holiday.
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Who, like, everybody knows all these other holidays and who started them. Who the fuck set up Valentine's Day? It must have been some fat fuck trying to get ass.
Sounds like it was a true romantic to me. You guys are just unappreciative.
Well, you know,
what, one more, Joe? What? How much more can you possibly want, you fucking ass, well, you fat slob?
I did think there would be a bit more than that, but I did, for this Valentine's Day, for all of you out there, I did do research on the shape of the heart. And for those of you who knows what a phallic symbol is, that's anything shaped like a dick. The heart is the opposite. The heart is shaped like the both tits and an ass of a woman. So, just a little fact.
Are you serious about that?
Sure, look at it. Look at the heart. Put it upside down. It's an ass.
That's a good point.
Put it on the side of his tits. You're supposed to discover it. Go, good God.
I thought that point was going right to
shit. Dico, tell me about Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day?
I'll tell it, babe. Valentine's Day. Bullshit.
That's the voice of the person that invented Valentine's Day, I'll bet.
Yeah. Let's just invent this shit. We'll sell a bunch of cards. Everybody's gotta pay
Alright, I'm the judge.
What just happened?
I'm the judge and you're coming up with that voice and you want a holiday to begin.
And yeah. I have to tell you how I want the holiday.
Tell you how you want the holiday.
The judge understand why we should grant you that day.
Yeah, why should we grant you February 14th?
Who are we, the board of directors of Hallmark?
Make Judge Bam a believer right now of why Valentine's Day should be.
And action.
Your Honor, this is ridiculous. They got a goddamn rabbit that they kiss ass and give chocolate. Why not Valentine's fucking Day? Everybody will go out and then they got to take their girlfriend to dinner and pay triple for roses. It's the best deal I ever heard. And that way, everybody feels bad that don't have a girlfriend, so they'll really know to beat this shit.
Your Honor, please.
It's so true. Yeah, that's so true. If you don't have a date on Valentine's Day, you're an official.
You feel worthless.
And if you don't buy flowers, which cost 8 times more than they normally do, then you're an idiot.
If you have a girlfriend, flowers could cost maybe $10 for a fucking 4 roses.
Dude, I'm getting Jen right now. I have some words to ask her. You talk amongst yourself, and I need to find out why girls like Valentine's Day. I'll talk later.
I'll tell you what, you either get ripped off for fucking paying for flowers and dinner, or you're fucking have nobody to buy it for and you got a revolver right about to go in your mouth.
Dude, it's suicide material, dude. Suicide material. I'm telling you, man. If you have... What, Novak? You look like...
No, I want you to say this.
If you don't have a girlfriend, you don't understand how horrible you feel. You just feel like the most worthless pussy piece of shit, man. It hurts.
That's where I'm going to come into play, because I don't have a girlfriend, so I feel like shit, but if I did, I'd be broke. So there's no happy medium to Valentine's Day. It fucking sucks.
All right, we have Jen here, my girlfriend, and we need to know why girls like Valentine's Day. I mean... It's the most worthless holiday. Why would you let your boyfriend spend 8 times more money for dumb flowers when you could have just got it 2 weeks beforehand or 2 weeks after? Why? And you have to book all these restaurants are all fucking booked and you have to pay extra to like get a nice spot at Dilbertown Inn and shit. It's bullshit.
But Jen, wouldn't it be better?
Why does it have to be February 14th? I want to know.
Wouldn't it be better if the man expressed his love for you equally every day of the year rather than blow his load on goddamn Valentine's Day?
You're talking to the wrong person. I think Valentine's Day was made by a man who beats his wife all year, and that's the one day he says he's sorry for it.
Says it, you fucking frauds!
Babe, at least I don't beat you today.
Yeah, really? Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So why is Valentine's Day so important?
That's a makeup for all your shitty time.
That's the thing.
I don't think it is.
Be nice to
the biggest Valentine's Day fight I ever got in was I fucking took my girl out for drinks. I took her home. I had this humongous dinner prepared that I spent 3 days cooking with the bread and all that stuff. And you know why she was mad? Because I didn't get her the Hallmark card that accompanied it.
Dude,
fucking believe that shit?
So wait, you didn't get her the roses?
No. I got her roses. So I took her out to the movies. I took her out to drinks. Yeah. And I took 3 days to make her this smorgasbord dinner. I even had the candlelight. I had everything. I even got the cherry-flavored condoms for afterwards. And you know what?
Dude,
the bitch got mad.
Sick pig.
You fat fuck.
The bitch got mad because I did not buy her the card. The card!
You
would have made her a card, though.
If I was a girl and like, my boyfriend got me fucking flowers, I'd be like, that's like 5 death metal CDs and I could have got it Rainbow Records.
Someone here understands me, thank you.
I just figured out the exact thing that Valentine's Day is to me. In my mind, it's like buying a fake bag of heroin. Because I get the bag, I'm so excited, and then I realize it's fucking bullshit. Same thing with Valentine's Day. I got a girlfriend, I'm all excited, taking a dinner, she's pissed at me, it sucks by the end of the night.
Yeah, you know, Novak can relate anything to heroin. But Jen, tell us, please, sum up the psychology.
What did that mean, what he just said?
Please sum up the psychology of the girls whose Valentine's Day is their favorite
like
day. Yeah, yeah, sum up these girls for us, please, who plague mankind with their bitchiness.
They get nothing all year.
What are your plans for Valentine's Day?
I'll be in Mexico by myself.
Oh, by yourself?
Where's your girlfriend?
What's your bitch going to do without you?
Your bitch!
This is Steph. He lives at my house. He's the art director. He's the one who builds all the nice heartogram shit.
Uh-huh.
She's sitting at home packing up all my belongings.
Oh, man, you got the bitch in check.
No, is she mad at you or what? Is she mad at you or what?
Fuck.
Bull fuck, dude.
He trained her.
Your wife gets mad at you for coming here working on the show and fucking earning a mean paycheck.
Yeah, but she doesn't have to work and she gets to do her thing.
You're just jealous, Franz. He's got his own check. Yours is a fucking loose cat and smokes too much.
He's happily married. Of course I'm jealous. Of course I'm fucking jealous. He has a happy marriage, you son of a bitch. I'll be glad to see it fucking sink into the sea.
Girlfriend's a loose cannon.
She's a loose cannon that smokes entirely too much. She's smoking all the time.
I don't have anything to talk, though.
Call his fate is fate.
Okay, next subject.
Dude, my house has been broken in the past 3 days.
Oh, Jesus.
But
ladies and gentlemen,
it, but it's
this house has been a goddamn insane asylum. But anyways, next subject. Bring in his worthless-ass assistant, Kavanaugh. Let's talk about how fucking worthless your
assistant
is.
Kavanaugh out there?
I can't bring him right now because I got to play a song.
Cool. All
right. I don't have to play a song. And I want to play a song.
As you
know, what song is it?
It's Hardcore Superstar. Their new album called I don't know. What the fuck is it called? The song's called Honey Tongue. I can't remember what the name of the album. No Regrets is the name of the album.
No Regrets is the name of the album. What's the name of the band?
And Novak has no regrets either.
If the name of the song is Honey Tongue, something your girlfriend does not have.
Well, I don't know.
How dare you talk about me?
All right, here we go. This is Hardcore Superstar on Radio Bam Series 28 Facts.
Happy Valentine's.
Come along and dance to this yourselves in and lace up those shoes because you're listening to Radio Banner. I'm Sirius 28 Faction.
Oh, Sirius 28 Faction, we're back. Novak, Franz, Deco, Bam. What about that damn Valentine's? They ought to have the man's version of Valentine's where we get some shit back.
I know, right? It's always devoted to someone.
Why do women always
get shit? Get the Ides of March, March 15th, like Caesar's ghost. Yeah. We should get something back, like a cool fucking machete or like a pair of sneakers.
We should get to
stab
sneakers?
Our girlfriend.
Yeah, let's start a holiday. Let's go to the judge.
Yeah, let's do
right
this,
now.
Man.
But seriously, let's write up a treatment.
Well, what would it be? Would
bring
it be
your a case before this judge.
It would be your girlfriend has to do something nice for us.
What would it be called, though?
Your girlfriend has to do something
the
nice.
The smoker from Jersey has to come and bring us gifts.
Arby's.
I think she brings us.
No, she does do nice things for me.
She just fucks it all up.
Yeah, she does.
Arguments.
She does nice things for you right after she fucks it up before and after.
No, exactly.
She fucks up before, then does something nice, and then fucks it all up right after.
Fuck up goodness. Fuck up goodness. Fuck up goodness. I cannot take all the fucking fuck up. I can't deal with you. I'm a fucking nervous wreck, man. Look at me.
You can never get goodness before fuck up, though, ever. It's always fuck up, then goodness. Never other way around.
Like, bitch, I just spent $120 on fucking dinner, and you go to bed crying. You know why?
Why?
You know why? I remember why. Because her friends gave her this horrible fucking picture. She wanted to hang it up in my house.
What was it? What was the picture?
It was her fucking whore friend and her in a bed together holding each other. And believe me, her fucking best friend is a fat, fucking disgusting, slutty whore.
Dude,
this bitch
God,
is so fucking ugly and sick and stupid. It's and like I'm supposed to look in my bedroom
Ew.
At this fucking big picture of my fucking girlfriend that I'm supposed to worship and adore like a goddess next to this fucking slutty, disgusting, fat fucking whore.
Oh, God.
Everybody chill on the fuck. Anyway. But hey, how about Groundhog Day?
Groundhog Day, that was a little while back, but we didn't even get to talk about it yet.
Yeah.
So we go to Punxsutawney, PA, which is the middle of nowhere. Like, that is the middle of nowhere besides Iceland or like, Northwest Territories or Nova Scotia or something. But Punxsutawney is the middle of nowhere, Hickville, and we went there to film an episode on Viva La Bam, and we went to the actual event, and
cool.
Those old guys with the top hats were so pissed that we were stealing their thunder.
You stole their thunder. They did not let
you.
No,
it wasn't
in,
them. It was the pigs.
No.
It was them.
It was
the
guy
cops.
Who told the cops.
Yes.
Oh, one really? Of the top yeah. hat guys was just like, he didn't say this, but basically you should have
saw
been like,
his eye.
Officer, these guys are stealing our thunder. This is our one time of fame. We're all nobodies, and then one time we have the groundhog come out. We get all these interviews and stuff, and now this stupid MTV guy's taking all the thunder.
So what did the cops do? Okay, the cops were angry because they had to have 5 state troopers guarding the CKY crew for the entire event.
The whole time. Then once it was done and we didn't do anything wrong, and they asked them, they're like, "So what'd you think of the event? It sucked."
But wait,
and they're like, "Why?" He's like, "Because I had 3 cops staring me down the whole fucking time, and you made me uncomfortable."
Now, why were the cops so mad?
Yeah.
If they were
that
the cops should have been kissing our ass because they got triple unlimited overtime for 12 hours. Triple unlimited overtime? You pigs should be kissing our ass. Instead, what did they say? They stood at the foot of the stage and stared the CKY crew in the face. They were like,
"Yo, you repeat after us, so we know that you heard it. We will crush your skulls if you take one advancing step towards the stage. You repeat."
No, he said it to me. It was like a fucking threat. Remember that, Deco?
Yeah,
you were there.
It wasn't crush. It was cave.
Yeah, say it how he said it.
"I knew you get near that stage." He's got that big old thing in his hand. He's like, "I'm going to cave your skull in with this. Now, who doesn't understand? Now repeat it."
I'm not repeating that. And then Deco was like, "All right, I'll repeat it."
I was like, "Ask him."
Yo, you know those pigs spend hours upon hours every week standing in front of the mirror with their guns acting like they're big men. You know they do. You know when no one's around, they stand there in front of the mirror with the gun going, "Freeze, asshole! I'm gonna blow your goddamn head off and eat up a freeze! I'm a big bad cop. Everyone picked on me in high school. Freeze! My wife just left me because I couldn't get it up. Dude, take it out on somebody else, Piggy."
And they stand in their mirror. They go home and stand in their own mirror.
They stand in front of the mirror.
Dude,
hey, if you're a cop,
is,
I want you calling up the show because if you're a cop, you cannot deny the fact that you stand in front of the mirror with your little pop gun. You fucking pussy.
No, I have a lot of cops that are friends, though.
Oh,
me too. All around so Westchester. Cool, they're all so cool.
Oh, yeah.
There
best.
Are a few those of them cool that specifically shit. Become a cop just because they got picked on in high school, and now they want to be like, you, drop down, fucking da-da-da-da-da, and you know what? You think that I'm going to let you drive away from this? No, you were going 55 and a 50. 55 and a 50. You know what you could do for that? Yeah, get on your knees.
Sir, I'm sorry.
Get on your knees.
Then, officer.
Then there's other cops become cops because they're criminals and they feel bad for other criminals and they think they should lighten up, so they take the other approach. Those are like our friends. A cop is one step removed from a criminal.
A cop is one step removed from a criminal every time.
Oh, of course.
They're so close. You know, they all will just want to get around the law. And those of you who know cops, you know, all the cops get hookers. All the cops are marital
not
infidels.
All
cops are marital infidels. And you know what?
Infidels.
I went
jealous.
I went out. Well, I am because
he's going out of control.
Yeah, he is. Look at him. His face is popping out. His face.
Cops make me real mad sometimes because they really take advantage of their power.
Well, here, this is what you have to do. If you ever get pulled over, don't be a hard ass. Suck their ass. That's all you have to do. Because all they want you to happen is have
and
your
don't
ass.
Lie.
And don't lie.
They
because
hate liars.
No, cops.
Because if you obviously smell like beer
weakness.
And you're just like, so how many beers you have? Oh, I don't drink, officer.
Yeah, right. You're hammered.
Like, if you're just like, all right, I had three martinis.
It insults their intelligence when you lie to them.
No, cops mistake your kindness for weakness. They think you're weak when you're nice.
No,
listen, you know how I always get out of my shit with a cop? Whenever I get pulled over, first thing I say is I look the cop right in the eye and say, you know, sir, I have a confession to make. And they're dying to hear it. And then you say, I've always wanted to be a cop. Did you ever kill anybody? And, dude, once you say that, they just want you to get the hell out of their face, man. Because they think
that's his scam. What a horrible thing.
I'm not believing that.
You're going to be like, I have a confession to make. Oh, yeah, what's that? I got meth. I got coke. I got meth back in my house. Oh, man, I threw my parking ticket out the ass. I got warrants. Please don't put me in jail. Please.
But then when you look the cop in the eye and you tell them that you always wanted to be a cop, man, they're like, they don't know how to react. They've never been approached like that before. So
that would piss me off, too. Like, look at the confession mate. What's that, son? Well, I can't wait to hear this one.
Yeah.
I've always wanted a cop. I always wanted to be a cop. Did you ever kill anybody? Like, what's it like being one? Get out of here!
Get the fuck out of here!
Joe's gonna get beaten down tonight. Yeah. Next time he gets pulled over, so pretty serious about what you said on the air, huh?
I'll keep my mouth shut on this topic, man, because I know I'll run into him again.
Yeah, Raekwon never should have said all that.
It took Novak 10 years to learn.
Dude, I
remember hanging out with Novak when I was 13 and we were breaking bottles against some dude's driveway in Baltimore. These cops come by, they're like, ooh, ooh, ooh. And they come by, they're like, what's your name, son? He's like, Eric Ricks. Because R-I-C-K-S is so easy to spell, so he just made up some name in his head.
E-R-I-C-R-I-C. You can't.
You got away with it that time, but you've been doing that all your life, and it's been getting you nothing but into jail.
Yeah. Now, have we ever talked on the show about when he got arrested and then shit out the pills?
No.
Oh, my God, dude. Oh, my God.
We'll save that for the book. No more fucking heroin. Buy it about, I'd say, another year. It'll be in Barnes & Noble.
Another year? Everybody's going to forget by then.
Well, we'll build it up.
It's not even worth wasting the airtime.
Well, it's a build-up.
We'll build it up. What does that mean? I'm crazy hard right now.
I got to create something because these two pennies in my pocket aren't working.
I'm creating hype, and then it's going to die down for a year, and then it's going to come out.
I'm just going to make a long story very short. At one point, Novak, the dream seller here, was in the police station. Now, everyone knows it's popular to give medication to inmates nowadays, so he was locked in a holding cell completely naked with his hands cuffed behind his back. When the police walked out for 5 seconds, he saw all these pills sitting there, shoves the pills up his ass, in the bottle, shoves bottles of pills up his ass. The cops come back, they're like,
hey, Bob.
Where are the pills that were just here?
I don't know, I was just sitting here, just like mind my own business.
No, Brandon. Where were the pills that were right here in this room, right in front of you?
What did you do with them? Meanwhile, the only thing in the room is a table.
Is here? There's Novak, a bottle of
Novak
pills,
and a table.
And the table.
And when they get back,
there's only Novak and the table.
So where are the pills? You must have them. Tell me now.
Well, now you see, dude, how am I going to get? What am I going to do with the pills? I'm all handcuffed. I'm naked. I got nothing. I ain't got nothing.
So 5 minutes later. fate finds Brandon Novak squatted over a mirror completely naked, and the cops are standing around him with nightsticks telling him to cough.
Go on, boy! Cough!
Out comes a bottle of pills out of his hand.
It's just like, you stupid motherfucker.
You could have got 1 month in jail, but instead they give you 6 months just six because you have to be a hard ass and shove pills up
20 Valiums, baby.
So, yo, tell me the most blunt you've ever been to a cop. Like, because you've always lied for 10 years straight. You always had to come up with lies, and they knew that you were full of shit. When was the day that you're actually like, all right, today I'm going to tell the full blood?
Right here, and it never worked better in my life. Cop sees me going into an alley. My normal routine before I got myself clean now over 2.5 years was to go into these all-black neighborhoods to the worst alley you could find with some money on and with some money in my pocket and a jacket with a hood on to disguise my skin.
That way.
Buying heroin in the dark alley. Cop catches me going to the alley. Son, what are you doing? Back before I learned my fucking lesson, I'd say, oh, I think my dog ran back here. My girlfriend's lost. I got to find her. I went to jail.
My dog ran back and my girlfriend's lost.
This day, I pulled the money out, $60. I pulled the needle out and the cooker. I said, officer, I was on my way to buy heroin, but you caught me. He said, get the fuck out of here. Don't come back. From then on, I never lied about buying drugs.
Interesting approach.
I'm telling you, honesty is
key. It's so true, though. I mean, dude, if you're in a ghetto in Baltimore and the cops, like, go around that one block all day because they know it's the biggest heroin hangout, and when some white kid comes in all strung out, it's like, what are you doing here?
My dog's in lost. I need to find him. He's hungry. He must be starving out there. I feel bad for him, officer. I gotta find him. He's gonna starve to death, officer.
Oh, so I'll tell you, honesty works. But back to Groundhog Day, because you got off of that.
Oh, God. Okay, so the cops are mean. Not what else happened?
Groundhog Day. Tell Novak. You're Novak telling Abe about the kid.
Okay. What do I do? All day long, I
all right, we got these two new
talk
cats.
Talk about girls.
And it's all Novak every time. He's talking about, like, sex and, like, drugs and how scumbag he is and all this stuff. But as soon as my mom comes around, everything changes.
He changes his tune. Okay, let me set this up now.
This is true, guys.
Novak,
I swear to God.
This is Bam and Novak come back.
This isn't even a joke.
It's every day at Bam's house.
Bam and Novak come back the other night with two beautiful kittens, okay? One is a gray tabby. The other one is a black and white short-haired domestic. Now, Novak is bragging to us that, quote, he fucked this bitch, came on the cat blanket, and then made the other bitch who was with her use the cat blanket to keep herself
warm
because the basement the basement floor on which she made her sleep was cold.
So now in comes Abe in the mid-conversation.
So I'm fucking these bitches. I fucking cum all over the fucking thing, man. There's like cum everywhere. It's like gooping all out the thing all over this cat blanket. And then, here's a... Hey, how's it going? Oh, okay, Brandon, how are the kittens? You believe me, I just love these kittens. Believe me, I look at the innocence on piling these little kittens' faces, and I'm just reminded of the innocence that was robbed from me when I was a kid, you know, and I just want to preserve that innocence, and I want to make the best of it and love it. And believe me, I'm on chapter 7 of my book now. I work real hard. And believe me, these kittens, they will have fresh food and water all the time. But I'd rather slit my wrist and see anything happen to these poor little innocent kittens. And then I'll give them kitty milk, and I'll give them whisker lickings and meow mix and all that good stuff. Believe me, these are like the unborn babies I never had. And like, I will mother these things.
And then he starts losing it. And
dude, that's seriously what you did. As soon as my mom walked in mid-conversation, she was just talking about how he's going to take care of these kitties and give them kitty milk.
Now, in the meantime, he doesn't give two shits about these kittens.
That's a lie.
No.
I clean that kitty litter box every 2 days.
Okay, well, I saw you when Jesse's cute kittens crawled up on you. You took these things like they were filthy rags and just dropped them off you, dude. Like literally, like they were filthy rags. You plucked them from your lap and just dropped them.
See, you know Abe's listening right now. You're trying to make me look bad.
See, look, he's worried about it. He's worried about it right now.
Tell me, Ben.
I'm going to play a song again.
That's going to help me.
No. Played it. I'm going to help you by you. We're going to come up with some report when we get back.
Okay.
But right now, I'm going to be playing...
Tell him I played
Helicopters. Yeah, Hopeless Case of a Kid. Hopeless Case of a Kid in Denial. No, that gives so many songs devoted to.
I love it, man.
This is Radio Bam Series 28 Bashed.
the fuck you say it? I said, serious. Yeah. I'm serious, 28. Faction.
You are gargantuan. Oh, yeah. Yes. Eat another one of those tasty cakes. Have a tandy take. Oh, my God. Stuff it down your throat. Oh, what's that head for?
Oh my God. You guys are in for a treat. All right. All you listeners out there on Radio Bam.
Now we got a treat.
Oh, you guys are in for the biggest treat. Oh, my God. You guys are so lucky you're listening right now. Who's going to set this up?
I will.
Okay.
All right. So I told you guys that we went to Punxsutawney for Groundhog Day, and we filmed a really good show, but is what didn't get on camera was what goes behind the scenes with the production crew. In this case, the line producer, nickname?
Nickname is?
Gribbles.
Large.
Gribbles.
Gribbles.
Her name is Gribbles. So Gribbles thinks...
I hope she hears.
Gribbles thinks she's like this hot, top shit Hollywood
He's referring to her as Gribbles.
And she walks around thinking her shit don't stink. See, we're sick of it.
Wait, fed the fuck up.
What you guys don't understand out there in Radio Land, you non-production people, is that... When you work on the set of a movie or a television show,
especially in Westchester, Pennsylvania,
like if you're there's the producers and the directors and all that stuff, and then there's the underlings, there's like the camera crew, the grips, the production assistants, and all these people grovel under the grip of all these producers and stuff. Like if you're a power hungry producer or director, you can just get away with being the biggest dick to people, being so mean to people. And some people get so power hungry. Like, some people are in this business just because they need to feel power over other people. And every job has this. But people who work in... It's a disgrace to my profession. People who work in this business just make me sick when they get power hungry and all hung up on themselves. It makes me absolutely sick. So what happened, Novak?
First of all... People, like, they gotta realize that we're not filming fucking OC and we're not filming 24 and all these, like, Hollywood productions. We're in Westchester, Pennsylvania, filming a show, and, like, all the nobodies that they think are nobodies are my best friends from high school. Like, the guy who picks up the wire and moves it from point A to point B happens to be my fucking best friend, and when they boss him around, it pisses me off. And they show up here from, like, New York, like,
yeah,
you, move this around and move that around. That's why I like having Heroin Novak here, is because he doesn't get a paycheck from MTV. He lives at this house, he can't get fired, so he's just like, yo, what are you, the director? Yo, go and make me a fucking pizza, I'm hungry. Like, who the fuck are you? I'm gonna get you fired. I don't get a paycheck from here. I just live here, and I don't think that you're doing hard enough work.
I'm Bam's best friend. If you deny me, you might get fired, so you probably should listen.
There have been people working on this show who literally said, I have never been treated like this on a set in all my life. I demand respect. I am the associate producer.
It's like, dude, you're working on Viva La Bam. Bam's the boss, so just sit down.
What he says goes, shut up.
Like, dude, none of us listen to anybody but Bam on the show.
Because
he basically made the decision to hire everybody on the show. Yeah. So, like, if you're some Hollywood big shot, you don't mean shit. No,
I know.
So, anyway, we go to Punxsutawney, and Gribbles comes in hot, thinking her shit don't stink. And she starts, like, talking, like, all kinds of shit. Like, first of all, what the fuck are you doing here, Joe? You're supposed to get 15 tapes, and you didn't even get 15 tapes, and you don't even have a video camera. Why didn't you bring a video camera?
I'm like, she tried to humiliate me in an Arby's. Okay, we're in the middle of an Arby's having a quick meal break so we can go shoot Groundhog Day, and she's screaming across the Arby's at me because she got it in her head. I forgot 15 videotapes that you can buy at any local drugstore.
Which isn't a problem, but you had them anyway, and she was yelling about how you didn't have them. Second of all, she was yelling about how you didn't get my camera. Why should you use my camera and wear and tear my camera when she's a production... She works for a production company.
And third, okay, she's working for this production company. It's supposed to be this big production company, and they don't even have a video camera. She's saying, why don't you use Bam's camera? After all, it's just sitting there. I'm like, why should Bam's camera take the wear and tear for your production company? It's just ridiculous. No, we're not going to do that. So she starts cursing at me.
I'm getting pissed off because she's yelling at Joe. Give a quick little sample.
Wait. It's like, now, what the fuck are you even doing here? I don't understand. You forgot the tapes. You don't have Bam's camera. What the fuck are you even doing here? And I was like, I'm gonna tell you what I'm doing here, babe. Novak.
So basically, here's the situation.
she was yelling at Franz about these tapes, and everybody was so mad from before about just getting pushed around and bossed around, but especially Novak, who roomed right next to her, and he couldn't get any sleep because the fucking headboard was pounding against his head because she was getting railed in the ass.
By who?
By, we don't know.
Wait. First, I think it's fair to the listeners to create a visual and describe Gribble. Yes. Let me describe Arby's, first off. This isn't just regular Arby's. This is like, the workers at this Arby's love their job, and it is the cleanest Arby's, and there's like 45-year-old like ladies clubs in there just enjoying their lunch. The place is immaculate and it's so polite. No one even said like, I have to take a piss. Like, that would be over the edge.
So Novak, in the middle of her yelling about these tapes, Novak just stands up and goes, alright babe, well, try to reenact what you said.
All right.
Okay, so let me.
Now this is the deal. We're all sitting here.
It's got to get it out.
Okay, go ahead, Franz. Okay.
She's a fat pig. And no. Okay, imagine a 900-pound Darth Vader. Like, she wears this big ugly trench coat, which she thinks is gonna hide the fat. It doesn't, dude. There's so much fat on this bitch's back. You can scrape it off with a knife. And have bacon for 120.
So we're all in Arby's, and everybody's size, there's probably about 15 of us.
No, I don't, actually. I don't hate her at all.
There's probably about 15 of us to the crew that day, and we all decided to sit two per table. So you know Arby's is big, so everyone is spread out very big throughout the whole dining room, plus the other people eating.
Keep in mind, this argument took place from one end to the other of Arby's. It wasn't on one table. It was all across, so everybody got to hear it. So in the middle of conversation of her talking about these 15 tapes, Novak just decides to stand up and says,
look, babe, I don't care about tapes. I don't know anything about a tape or a camera. I could care less. What I love is sex. Now, I couldn't sleep because your headboard was banging into my wall all night. Who was banging your ass out, babe? And she looks in front, like, she hides behind the guy sitting in front of her.
The best part is, she's like, all right, you got your words out, Novak. Now, back to the camera equipment.
No. Fuck camera equipment. Yeah. I could care less. I want to talk about sex. Now, who was banging your ass out, babe? And she had nothing to say. Dude. But this buildup had happened because the night before we went to the bar, I put my arms on her shoulder and she made this big skeptical like I was trying to rape her. So I couldn't wait to hit her, man.
He puts his hands on her shoulder and she freaks out at the bar. She's like, don't put your filthy, disgusting hands on me.
And the whole bar turned.
The whole bar thought that, like, there was a rape being committed.
It was bad.
I'm serious. Dude, like, everybody thought.
She
ran
going.
Behind the bar and said, don't put your bloody hands on me!
She runs behind the bar, which you're not supposed to. So, like, if there's a bar in the middle of the room, there's this bitch running in the back of the bar, and she's as big as a house, so you can't miss her. And then everyone, oh my god, it was
she made me feel bad, which I rarely ever do.
She embarrassed
bad.
You in front of the whole bar?
This was a build-up, and I was just waiting for it to happen. So when I got in there, she wanted to stop the convo like 2 minutes into it. I let it go for at least 10 to 15 minutes.
Dude, it went on for 10 minutes. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
I would
life.
Never, ever let her stop.
And the most uncomfortable situation I've ever
seen. I mean, I looked over at Bam, and he's like eating his fries extra heavy because he won't even look at her. And
yeah,
I was like, fuck, man.
Looked up the
it's
whole
my time,
time
to shine right here. I'm shining right now,
the
brother.
The best part was, once you got out what you... Like, dude, no one would ever do that. But, like, the fact that you don't get paid for the show, like, what do you care if you start talking about sex and inappropriate shit? So you say what you say, then finally after 10 minutes of you busting her balls, then finally she goes, all right, now back to the camera equipment. Where the fuck are the 15 tapes? And he's like, Franz is like,
they're in the van.
Yeah, like,
we had what? Tapes.
What do you mean they're in the van? You said that they were gone.
They've been in the van the whole time. Like,
so call that
she freaked
idiot.
Out for no fucking
and
reason.
And got humiliated.
You
know how embarrassing that was? Probably one of the most embarrassing. It had nothing to do with me. I couldn't even look.
Oh, dude, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. Novak, you were drinking for free for a month.
Yeah, Franz has been picking my tab up since.
We laughed in the car for 1 hour straight through, and Joe was so happy that he consisted on singing, you dropped the bomb on me, baby. You dropped the bomb on me.
God, dude.
Yeah, we got to hear an acapella. Because listen to the end when he goes, me. He feels
you dropped a bomb on me, baby. You dropped a bomb on me. But dude, it was so beautiful. See, all of you in Radioland just don't know how many people are in this movie business just to get their asses kissed. And see, In science fiction, they talk about alternate universes and all these different alternate realities throughout the universe and stuff like that. Like, in the sum of all of the alternate universes and realities in the whole universe, she never thought that her getting humiliated like this was any remote possibility. It was the most beautiful moment I have ever seen in my entire life.
And the fact that it came from the biggest worthless scumbag on Earth was even
Gico,
better.
Gico, tell me what you were thinking at that moment.
I'll tell you exactly what I was thinking. Novak is screaming the F word so loud, and I think, I'm pretty sure you didn't say bang. You said pound. Who was pounding your ass?
Who was pounding your ass?
But the whole time, all I thought, there was a group of four, like, 35, 40-year-old ladies just trying to have their nice little brunch at Arby's, you know, that probably made them happy, nice sunny day. I was like, oh my God, he's screaming it. Who pounded your fucking ass? That was so awful, dude. I was like, God, they've probably never heard anything like that in their life.
Are we allowed to say who was pounding her ass because he tried to beat up Novak later?
Well, all right, I guess
we're
not.
Well, the culprit who thought that I was talking about him.
And Novak, you wouldn't let up. Even when you were done making fun of her, you're dropping the F.
I never
do,
man. I take things to the farthest extent.
I couldn't have gotten
any
more ridiculous.
There was like the old lady senior citizens auxiliary club eating between this argument, man. It was like,
come on.
All right, we're taking a break. This next song's called I Fucked Your Wife, followed by What the Fuck Is Christina Aguilera Doing Right Now?
Oh,
this song is my shit. And they're so quick that I need to play two of them.
Right on.
On Radio Bam Series 28 Faction.
I fucked your wife when you were at the bar. I fucked your wife when you were at work. I fucked your wife when you were out playing golf. I fucked your wife when you went home. And I fucked your wife. And I fucked your wife. I fucked your wife. And I fucked your wife. She swallowed my load. I fucked your wife. 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 And I fucked your wife. And I fucked your wife.
Now back to Radio Bam.
What the fuck do you think Christina Aguilera is doing right now?
What the fuck do you think Christina Aguilera is doing right now? What the fuck do you think Christina Aguilera is doing right now? What the fuck do you think Christina Aguilera is doing right now?
Adults.
Say hello to everyone.
Hello to everyone.
Go ahead, talk.
Yeah, what's up, everyone? I didn't know you were recording this shit.
I had no clue.
It's on. It's on the radio channel now.
Nah.
Yeah.
Fucking kidding me.
Can't say that.
I'm sorry.
Serious 28 Faction.
Whoa, welcome back. No? Okay, never mind, we're leaving. I am Rake, they will not let me join tonight, but...
what the fuck ever. We're back at Novak Fraud Spam Me.
Oh,
Gico. So,
Dear Franz, here's my love letter to you. Dear Joe, so many sunshines we woke sharing together. All for you to throw the fuck away, you asshole!
That's how
baby, I'm sorry, but things just didn't work out for us. And this Valentine's Day, you're gonna have to move out of the house. I wanted things to work out.
Not over my dead body!
Baby, I really wanted things to work out. I swear to God, for a year, I tried to make things work out.
Put your fucking tongue in my ass, Joseph.
I've done that.
Joseph!
On countless occasions. And it hasn't helped our relationship, not one iota.
I'll give you a Leota.
Iota.
Where are these words from?
Ray Liotta.
I'll show you Ray Liotta, Joe.
Joe, you going to Cabo with us?
No, he is not.
Where? Oh, yeah, Mexico.
You go to Mexico?
Oh, hell yeah. Because
she's not invited.
I'll get kidnapped. You know, you can pick up a hooker there for about 10 pesos.
God damn.
Are you going to do that?
Hell yeah.
I'd be right there.
I'm nothing if I don't.
Are you
nothing.
Going to Dream Cellar?
I can't go.
Why?
Oh, yeah,
got a couple outstanding warrants.
Yeah, they bought me a ticket and everything. I've never been there in my life. Like, hey, no, like, your flight leaves this time. You were bad first class. I'm like, hey, cancel that. I got warrants, baby.
Are you Brandon Novak? Are you Brandon Novak? Are you Brandon Novak?
Dude, so Cabo bummed. Is like, it's basically Cancun. Like, that's, you live for that shit.
Yeah, keep pumping it up. I'm stoked. Can't go, man. There's nothing
can't
I can do but sit here and jerk
try.
Off. Because it's not worth going to Mexican prison.
You think they'll put you in one?
I think I don't want to roll the dice on it.
Dude, a friend of mine shot a feature film in Mexico. The cops pulled him over. Took the negatives out of the car and my friends had to go to the bank and get wired $6,000 to pay the cops for the negatives.
This is how dangerous.
They shot their film. They shot an entire film and they were taking the negatives back to the U.S. to get
like
processed.
This film.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is how dangerous it is to go there. I was talking to one of the guys that's organizing your whole trip today in the driveway. He said they have an extra $10,000 in petty cash for problems. Which means it's so corrupt that the only way they can get away with half the shit is by bribing the cops.
You know how cheap they are. It must really.
That's the truth.
Your average Mexican makes about $6 to $7 American dollars a day, which just goes to show.
Seriously.
All you gotta do is hit some gringo over the head. Dude, you gotta work for a month.
Gringo.
Sorry.
You're gonna get rocked to death by Mexicans in your neighborhood.
Dude, my ex-girl, man, she worked in Mexico City for a whole summer. I went down there for 2 weeks.
Is this the smart one that went to Harvard?
Yeah,
this
isn't the smoker that worked at Hardee's. This is the rich girl who went to Harvard. And she got a great architectural job down there. But I got to tell you, we hung out with people who were moderately wealthy. And everyone that we met either had been kidnapped or was immediately related to someone, like their first cousin or sister or brother or mother had been kidnapped. Everybody, it's crazy down there. It's a whole another way of life. Like your average American cannot understand how poor it is down there. And it's not because no one down there doesn't want to work. There's no work.
Well, the thing I found today is that you and your girlfriend are going. Does that mean I get a babysitter or free ride of the house again?
You get another babysitter.
You serious?
Who's going to be Novak's babysitter while you're gone, Bam?
Are you going to be Deke?
I am. Deke, I'm going to babysit you. I'm going to have him in diapers.
Deke, I don't want you here, man.
I'm going to put some Huggies on your ass, Novak. Clean your act up.
Clean my act up.
You're going to have to wear ballet slippers to tiptoe over the heroin needles, man.
Easy killer.
Novak should play a violin with a Huggies on, begging for change.
Yeah. You're not watching me, brother. All right.
This place is going to be hell when you get back. Bam, there's going to be so many things that went wrong that are going to be covered up when you get back. Like, there's going to be shit
that
was broken.
Why are you making them all nervous?
It's like you're going to, like, go to flush the toilet. The whole handle's going to fall off and the toilet's going to say, what the hell happened? I just touched the toilet.
I know, man. Everything's cool. I didn't even touch that thing.
All the dishes are going to be dirty.
I'll be like,
dude, I don't know.
Dude, I remember one time.
No, I'll be like this. I'll be like, yeah, I don't really like that picture where it is anymore. I'm going to move it. I'll move it. There'll be some big hole in the wall. No, like, what the fuck is it?
We had a little major party.
Major.
No, I didn't do that. That was just nasty because I was here. No, listen. I was here when dude did it, and I told him. I was like, yo, Bam going to be mad, so I'm going to tell you who did it.
In the meantime, fucking Novak totally did it. But, dude, no. My favorite Novak story, no offense, Novak, I love you to death, especially after you stuck up for me, was when Vern
Ibrowski
of
CKY came to live here for a week. He was in the house for 10 minutes. His first 10 minutes in the house, April comes to the house, and we all know how Novak gets when April comes around. She's like, the sink was just full of Novak's dirty dishes. And she was like, where did all these dirty dishes come from? He's like, I don't know, man. I just got here, man. They're Vern's. And, like, she went over to Vern's. She's like, Vern, why did you make all the dishes dirty? He's like, Vern's like, I just got here. I haven't been here for the
how about,
been here for 10 minutes.
How about when I evicted Vern from his bedroom and blamed it on the PAs?
Oh, my God.
He asked each and every PA, which was about a total of 15. He went all around the Viva La Bam cast and crew and asked who moved his belongings from out of his room into another one because Novak secretly wanted Vern's room and he was pissed because Novak felt that he was more important around here.
It's well, true.
But the thing is, Novak, no one ever believed for one second that the PAs did it.
Vern did.
No, he didn't. Because 1 minute after you told him that lie and he asked Seth Meisterman, who was in the next room, Meisterman was like, dude, no, nothing had to be moved out of that room. We weren't shooting there. He knew that you just made up the bald-faced lie and kicked him out of his room.
Franz, if your old girl, your new girlfriend sounds like, yes, Joe! What did your Harvard girlfriend sound like?
Yeah.
She sounded like this. No, she was a Jewish girl. She was really cool.
Do you miss being with her now that you're with the girlfriend?
No, I don't because, all said and done, we were never meant to be together. It was just never meant to be. And, you know, it takes... For a little Valentine's
who's
Day advice.
Who's the Ricky puss, Joe?
Yeah, who's got the stink puss?
Oh, you have to put your fingers in bleach to get the stink.
No, that was just a random hookup.
Yeah, oh, right.
God. Dude, God.
Say
dude.
Her first name, own and own.
Yeah, let's call her.
Dude, I wouldn't go out with a stink puss, number one. Number two, I had to dip my fingers in bleach to get this female scent off of me.
Who? I want to know who. Where'd you meet her?
Yeah, tell the story.
I was a waiter. And
where?
I was a waiter at two places at a Ponderosa Steakhouse.
She was a Ponderosa employee.
No. She was a Houlihan's employee. I also worked at a Houlihan's.
Which is
a more high class casual dining restaurant.
Much better than Ponderosa.
Oh my God. actually, you know what? A funny story. Very briefly, I was in the back seat of a hatchback.
Oh,
and
this motherfucker loves a hatchback so
I love hatchbacks. But okay, no. You guys gotta... Okay, in the front seat, there's one of the waitresses and one of the waiters I work with. So they start hooking up, and I can't get out because we're in a hatchback. So she gives him a blowjob. And then the whole time, he keeps reaching his hand back and touching my knee the whole time. Like,
ew.
He's trying to get a three-way going, and I'm like, I'm so uncomfortable. I'm like, I gotta get out of here. Later on, I'm like, yo, dude. Why'd you, like, it was just me and him in this doorway, and I'm like, dude, why did you seriously just try and get gay with me? Like, what the fuck? And he just grabs me, and he had a green belt in Tung Sudo, and I had my brown belt in Judo, so we just start fucking fighting in the middle of all hands.
In the hatchback?
It's like, he's pulling his Tung Sudo shit, I'm pulling my Judo wrestling moves, and we just start fighting in the middle of the whole hands because he tried to get gay with me. And then one of the cooks comes out to try and break it up. He grabs each of us by the shoulder, and we like look at each other, we're like, oh man, this sucks. How are we going to work with each other ever again?
Dude, how about Buddy Bill fucking... started a fight with Ted while Ted was driving. Poor Ray.
Oh,
driving
man.
In his car, Buddy Bill just started punching him in the fucking face.
What?
He was just all drunk and Ted must have said the word wrong thing. What?
What'd Ray
no,
it's
Ray was just getting punched in the face trying to drive like
you know why?
He had the fattest.
No, you know why? Because it was Rake's dad's car and Buddy Bill borrowed the car.
That's right.
And then got all these parking tickets. Speeding tickets.
Buddy Bill did?
Yeah.
Why would Buddy Bill be punching Rake?
Because he bought Rake's dad's car.
But never paid.
And never changed the name over. So all these speeding tickets and all these parking tickets were all going to Rake's dad. And Rake wanted to say something. And then Buddy Bill starts freaking out in the middle of 95, punching him in the face while they're trying to drive.
I wish I was there for that.
No, it's time to say goodbye, ladies and gentlemen.
Bye, sucks.
Everybody.
Say goodbye to Joe's girlfriend.
Say goodbye to Joe Smoker from Jersey.
Literally.
Later, babe.
Yeah,
later,
babe.
Maybe in another lifetime it'll work out for us, babe.
Oh, man, that's depressing.
And I'm going to, yeah, it is pretty depressing. I hope everything... No, I don't.
Yeah, don't say that.
I hope everything works out.
This
a
next
lot,
band
asshole.
I really like, and I just kind of found out about them, man. They fucking rock. They're called Tiger Army. And this song is called The Power of Moonlight. And this is us saying goodbye on Radio Bam Series 28 Facts. And I'll see you next fucking week.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye, Joe.
band for this week.
We're done.
Tune in next week for more.
You can leave now.
It's Radio Bam.
Radio Bam every Monday, every 4 p.m.
Radio Bam every Monday, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific.
Email me now at Radio Bam.
Why don't you take a picture of your sweet white ass and send it on over to Radio Bam at Sirius-Radio.com.
Call Radio Bam at 877-PORN-BAG.
That's 877-PORN-BAG.
Sweet dreams, Peapod.
Bye, everybody. See you next week.
On Sirius 28. Action.